ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर टू द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ महाराज अग्निद्रा टेक्स्ट 19 एंड 20 टेक्स्ट 19 डजंट हैव एनी परपोर्ट सो आई विल रीड थ्रू द वर्स एंड द ट्रांसलेशन देन विल गो टू टेक्स्ट 20 तस्मुहबा आत्मजान स राजबर अग्निद्र नाभि किं पुरुष हरिवर्ष इलावृत रम्मक हिरण्मय कुरुभद्राश केतुमाल संगान नव पुत्रान अजनत। इन द उम ऑफ पूर्वचित्ति महाराज अग्निद्र द बेस्ट ऑफ किंग्स बिगॉट 9 सन्स नेम्ड नाभि किंग पुरुष हरिवर्ष इलावृत रम्मक हिरण्मय कुरु भद्राश एंड केतुमाल। टेक्स्ट 20 दिस ऑल्सो सिंस इट इज इन अ प्रोज फॉर्म वी ओंट रीड इट टुगेदर जस्ट आई विल रीड इट थ्रू। सा सुत्तार्थ सुतान्नबानुसरं गृह एतपहाय पूर्वचित्तिर्भूय एवाजं देवं उपतस्थे। सा शी सुत्वा आफ्टर गिविंग बर्थ टू अथ देयर आफ्टर सुतान सन्स नव 9 अनुवत्सरम year after year grihe at home eva certainly apahaya leaving purvachitti bhuyah again eva certainly ajam lord brahma devam the demigod Upatasthe, approached. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Purvachitti gave birth to these 9 sons, one each year. But after they grew up, she left them at home and again approached Lord Brahma to worship Him. Please repeat after me. Purvachitti gave birth to these 9 sons, one each year. But after they grew up, she left them at home and again approached Lord Brahma to worship Him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are many instances in which Apsaras, heavenly angels, have descended to this earth by the order of a superior demigod like Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, have followed the demigod's order by marrying someone and giving birth to children, and have then returned to their celestial homes. For example, after Menaka, the celestial woman who had come to delude Vishvamitra Muni gave birth to the child Shakuntala. She left both the child and her husband and returned to the heavenly planets. Purvachitti did not remain permanently with Maharaj Agnidra. After cooperating in his household affairs, she left Maharaj Agnidra and all 9 sons and returned to Brahma to worship him. Sasuttatha sutan navanu vatsarang griha evapahaya purvachittir bhuya evajang devam upatasthe. So Purvachitti gave birth to these 9 sons, one each year, but after they grew up, she left them at home and again approached Lord Brahma to worship him. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Sthapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupang Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunathan Nitang Twang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savadhutang Parijana Sahitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapto Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, here we can see Jai Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Rash Bihari Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman Ki Jai. That Srimad Bhagavatam is the historical record of the happenings from the beginning of creation. The creation also has 2 aspects, primary creation or sarga and secondary creation, visarga. So here is the description of the secondary creation, the creation from Brahma onwards, how things happen, how things happened in the universe. The primary creation is Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean, and as he breathes, the bubbles that are generated in the causal ocean are an universe. Each one is an universe. Each bubble is an universe. Then the Lord enters in each universe, which was empty otherwise inside. He enters them as the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and he fills up the half of the universe with water from his body, like sweat. Therefore it is called Swedavari. Sveda means sweat. So the water generated from his own sweat. And then he lies in that water on the bed of Anantashesha, and then from his navel comes out, one lotus, and Brahma is situated on that lotus. Then from Brahma, the creation begins in this particular universe. From Brahma's body, from Brahma's mind, not from his body, from Brahma's mind, four children are born. They were the first ones to be born, the four Kumaras. And then from Brahma's mind, 10 other children were generated. They are the Prajapatis and Narad Muni. Hare Krishna Maharaj. It'll be nice if you sit on the chair. So, and then from different Brahma's different limbs, different personalities are born, and eventually from the right hand side of Brahma's body came Svayambhuvam. Manu, Svayambhuva Manu, and from the left hand side of his body came Shaturupa. So they are the first couples. And they are the ancestors of mankind. From Manu came the human beings. From Manu and Satarupa. Prior to that, the procreation took place just from Brahma's mind. And this, they are the first couple. And the procreation began through the process of copulation. So Manu and Satarupa then gave birth to Priyavrata and Uttanapad. And Priyavrata's son is Agnidra, whose history, whose activities are being narrated here. Agnidra, when Priyavrata retired and went for spiritual enlightenment, he left home for spiritual enlightenment, then he gave the kingdom to his son Agnidra. And Agnidra was ruling his kingdom in an illustrious way. His father actually advised him how to take care of the citizens as his, they should be treated and they should be taken care of just as his own son. And therefore, the Sanskrit expression for a citizen is praja. Praja, prakrishta rupena jayate. They are not exactly children as they are by, not children by birth, but children by a very special way. The children according to the responsibility. That is the ideal leadership. An ideal king, an ideal leader, takes care of his followers just as if they are his own children. And that is the Vedic culture. Then at some point Agnidra wanted to have a son. And again another wonderful consideration. In order to give birth to a proper children, he decided to perform severe austerities to qualify, to prepare himself so that his body will generate an appropriate child. Not just accidental procreation, intense preparation. He performed great austerities although in order to have children, but the consideration was that let me give birth to appropriate children and let me qualify myself for that. And then Lord Brahma sent a very special personality, Purvachitti, an apsara, a resident of heavenly planet, she is a sort of a demigod. Apsaras are also the residents of heavenly planet, and their business is to give pleasure to others. And Sri Brahma told Purvachitti to go and become his wife, Agnidra's wife. And Agnidra saw her and became attracted by her beauty, and as a result of that they became married. And in course of time, as it has been described here, they gave birth to 9 children. Each year she bore him a child. 9 children were born, and after the children were grown up, children were able to take care of themselves, that means didn't need the help of the mother anymore. So Purvachitti left, and she went back to Lord Brahma. That has been described in this verse, that how Purvachitti gave birth to these 9 sons, one each year, but after they grew up, she left them at home and again approached Lord Brahma to worship him. And in the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning that sometimes by the superior order, these apsaras come and have association with the mortals of the earth planet. And Prabhupada gives the example of Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was performing severe austerity to become a brahmana. Vishwamitra was a kshatriya king, very powerful kshatriya king. But he developed some conflict with Vasishtha, and he saw the power of a brahmana, and he realized that the power of a kshatriya, the physical power and military power of a kshatriya, is far inferior to a brahmana's spiritual power. So he wanted to become a brahmana, and in order to become a brahmana, he was performing, that means in order to develop brahminical qualities, he was performing great austerities. For a long, long time, for thousands of years, he performed austerities. In the meantime, when Indra saw that Vishwamitra was performing such severe austerity, Indra became worried. Indra thought, maybe this person is performing austerity to take away the heavenly kingdom from me. So Indra sometimes becomes worried about his position. When he sees that somebody is performing austerities, Indra becomes very alarmed. Sometimes when Indra sees that someone is performing Ashvamedha Yajna, horse sacrifice, then he becomes worried. Like when he saw that Prithu Maharaj was performing horse sacrifice, Indra became worried. When Indra saw that King Sagara was performing horse sacrifice, Indra became worried. And he tried to spoil the horse sacrifice by stealing the horse. And in case of Vishwamitra, Indra thought that somehow I have to break his austerity. otherwise I may be in trouble. He may come and take away my kingdom. Sometimes Indra loses his kingdom of heaven, like he lost his kingdom to Bali Maharaj. Then the Lord had to come as Vamana Dev to take away the heavenly planets from in Bali and give it back to Indra. These are all interesting happenings in the universal affairs. So here, seeing Vishwamitra performing such severe austerity, Indra asked Menaka to come. Vishwamitra was performing such severe austerities that all his senses were withdrawn. That is the power of a yogi in his meditation. He withdraws his senses. The fifth stage of Ashtanga Yoga is Pratyahara. Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses from the objects of the senses. The objects of the senses may be in front or may be there, but they won't be affected by that. Like form may be there in front of their eyes, but he won't become affected by that form. The sound may be there, but he won't hear the sound, etc. So finally, when Menaka saw that Vishwamitra, although she was trying to break his meditation, she was not able to. And finally, the sound of her ankle bells entered into Vishwamitra's, through Vishwamitra's ears. And just this sound caused him to break his meditation. Just the sound of the ankle bells. And he opened his eyes. And the rest followed. The beautiful form of Menaka bewildered the mind of Vishwamitra. And his meditation, so many thousand years of austerities and penances, was broken. He fell down with Menaka. And the result was a beautiful baby girl, Shakuntala. And right after the girl was born, Menaka left. And Vishwamitra also realized the disaster that happened. So he also left the girl and went to continue his meditation. So this girl was being protected by the birds alone in the wilderness. And then Kanva Muni found her. And because she was protected by the birds, Shakunta, another Sanskrit name for the birds is Shakunta. Therefore, she had got the name Shakuntala. And eventually Shakuntala got married to a king. And her son became the ruler of the earth planet. Dushyanta, the king of the earth planet at that time, was hunting in the forest and, losing his way, came to the ashram of Kanva Muni. And there, Kanva Muni was not there, and he met Shakuntala and he fell in love with Shakuntala just by becoming attracted by her beauty. And he married Shakuntala, but Kanva Muni was not at home. Therefore Shakuntala said, unless my father comes home, I can't leave without his permission. Father means foster father. She was brought up by Kanva Muni, So she treated him as a foster father, and Kandamuni also treated her as his own daughter. So, so this is one instance that Prabhupada mentioned here. Sometimes this celestial personalities also come down to marry some human beings in some special situations. Another example is actually Shantanu, King Shantanu, marrying Ganga. Ganga Devi came to marry Shantanu. That episode had two relevant incidences. King Shantanu, in his previous life, he was a king called Mahabhisha. And Mahabhisha, by his austerities, he was elevated to Sataloka, the abode of Lord Brahma. And there he became an associate of Lord Brahma. And one day Ganga came to Brahma's assembly. And at that time, with the wind, Ganga's cloth got displaced and her breasts became exposed. And at that time everyone casted his eyes down. But Mahabhisha just kept on looking at her beauty. So Brahma noticed it. And Brahma said, "You are not qualified to stay in Sataloka. Go to the earth planet." And because your activities are not befitting a resident of Sataloka, you haven't been able to overcome your sex desire. So go down to the earth planet. And as a result of that, Mahabhish was born as King Shantanu, the illustrious father of Bhishma Dev. And in the meantime, another incident took place. 8 Bashus were traveling through the space with their wives. These Vasus are the demigods in heaven. And then they came across, while they were flying over Vasishtha's ashram, they saw this beautiful cow, Nandini, the daughter of Surabhi. And one of the Vasu's wives wanted to have this cow. And they said, "Look, this cow belongs to Vasishtha. Please don't desire this cow, because this cow is very, very dear to Vasishtha." But she kept on insisting, "Jai Shri Shri Radha Rashbihari ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman." So, but she kept on insisting, "No, I want this cow, I want this cow, I want this cow." And then eventually they stole the cow for her sake. And then when Vasishtha came back to his ashram, at that time Vasishtha was not in his ashram, but when he came back, he found that Nandini was missing. So Vasishtha, in his meditation, could find out what happened, and he cursed that those who acted in such a way, let them lose their right to remain in heavenly planets. Let them fall down to the earth planet. So when the Vasus got to know that, they immediately approached Vasishtha, fell at his feet, begged him to withdraw his curse. But Vasishtha said, "Look, the word that has gone out of my mouth is bound to happen. my words will never go in vain. So since it has been told you have to take birth in the heavenly, in the earth planet, but right after your birth you'll be delivered. But the eighth child, the eighth Vasu, the eighth one who stole the cow, he'll have to stay on the earth planet for a long, long time. And but then they thought that they can't take birth in an ordinary womb, so they approached Ganga and said, requested her to become their mother. Ganga agreed. Now there is another link here, that since Mahavish wanted, became attracted to Ganga, his desire also was to be fulfilled. So Ganga had to become his wife. So Ganga agreed to become the mother of the Vasus, and she came down to become the wife of King Shantanu. Shantanu met Ganga when he was hunting. He was very fond of hunting, Shantanu. So one day he was hunting on the bank of the river and he saw this celestial beauty. And he became attracted and approached her to become his wife. And she agreed on one condition, that she, that he will never question her actions and he will never prevent her from doing whatever she wanted to do. And so Shantanu agreed on that condition without really thinking, without considering about that situation deeply. And he was married. A child was born. Right after the child was born, Ganga went to the river and dropped the child. Killed the child. Shantanu couldn't question, because he knew that if he questioned or he tried to stop her, then Ganga would leave. And so he controlled himself. Now we can see how difficult it must have been for him to accept that situation. The first child of the king is born. The whole kingdom was rejoicing. Everyone was ecstatic that the prince is born. But if the mother takes the baby, drops him in the river. And this was one after another, seven children were born. And all the seven children met with the same destiny. Now we can see that who are these seven children? The seven of the eight Vasus. And it was actually a benediction, sort of, that right after their birth, they'll be delivered. Right after their birth, they were delivered. But from our point of view, from our calculation, right after their birth, they were killed. And Bhishma, the eighth one, when Ganga was about to, right after the birth, when Ganga was carrying the child to the river, this time Shantanu could not control himself. He just went to her. Why are you doing this? You are the mother and you are killing your own children. Please spare this child. So Vasishtha, what did Vasishtha say? The one who stole the cow, he'll have to be here for a long, long time. And here we are. And not only that, Ganga actually told, okay, fine, since you want him, I won't send him away, but now I have to go because you broke your promise. Our condition was that you will never question my action. You will never prevent me from doing whatever I want to do. So now that you have broken that condition, broken that vow, I will leave. But and since you want this child to survive, okay, I'll take him with me, and when he is grown up, then I'll return him back to you. And who is that child? That child is Devabrata, who later became Bhishma. Now another wonderful thing happened. Bhishma became after he came back, his mother returned him to his father. Bhishma became the constant companion of his father. Shantanu and Devabrata, that was his name at that time, became extremely attached to each other. They were constantly together. But one day Shantanu went to hunt without Bhishma. And he came across a beautiful, extremely beautiful girl carrying the passengers across the river Ganges. And he became attracted to her from a distance by smelling the beautiful fragrance. He smelled a beautiful fragrance. And following that beautiful fragrance, he came to this extremely beautiful girl who was taking the passengers across the river and in a boat. So he questioned her who she was. And when he found out that she was the daughter of a fisherman, the king of the fishermen, Dhivararaj, so Shantanu went to him and asked him for his daughter. He identified himself as the ruler, and he wanted to marry his daughter. The Dhivaraj said, okay, I can offer you my daughter. No, I mean, it's a good fortune for me that the king like you want to marry her. But there is one condition. You see, her horoscope says that her son will become a king. So I can offer her to you only on that condition that her son will become the king. Her son will become the successor to the throne. Then Shantanu said, look, I already have a son, and he has already been coronated to the throne. Then he said, then forget about my daughter. So he went back, Shantanu went back to his palace. Bhishma noticed that he was looking very morose. So he asked his father. The father didn't say anything. He said, no, nothing is wrong. Everything is okay. Don't worry. But from the chariot driver, he found out that his father became attracted to such and such woman. And he had described what happened. Then Devabrata went there, met the fisherman king. And he told him to offer his daughter to his father. He said, okay, I can offer, but the condition is that my grandson has to become the king. He said, okay, I will relinquish my right over the throne. So he said, the Dhivararaj said, that's very good. Now you may relinquish your right over the throne, but what about your children? That will lead to a family feud. Then his Devabrata said, okay, then I won't get married. Now for a Kshatriya to take a vow of not marrying is a very, very difficult thing. Because Kshatriyas are in the mode of passion. They are very passionate. And they live in such opulent environment, surrounded by beautiful women. So for them to remain a celibate all throughout his life was a very, very terrible vow. So that's why the demigods started to exclaim, what a terrible vow, what a terrible vow. And in Sanskrit, that expression was Bhishma, Bhishma. And that's how he got the name Bhishma. And then when he came back to his father with Satyavati, then his father got to know everything that happened, and he gives him a blessing that you'll never die unless you want to. So here we can see, Vasishtha said, this one who stole the cow, he'll have to stay here for a long time, stay on the earth planet for a long time. And by the arrangement of the providence, we can see that his tenure on the earth planet became very secured. He wouldn't die unless he himself wanted to. So this is another instance when Ganga herself came down to marry. So in this case, in this way, we have to see that these personalities are not ordinary personalities. Although they are human beings, but they are very, very exalted personalities. Like King Shantanu was a resident of Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. King Mahabhish was elevated to that Satyaloka. And King Agnidra also, we can see, is not an ordinary person. Brahma's great grandson. Vishwamitra, after thousands of years of austerities, must have become elevated to such an exalted position. So in such cases, these exalted residents of the heavenly planets come and offer their association to these personalities. And on top of everything, here we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam is not a mythology. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the historical and genealogical description of the history of this universe. So well recorded and so well linked. In this way we can see, who is King Agnidra? He's actually a cousin of Dhruva Maharaj. Another extremely exalted personality who got his position in the topmost planet of this universe, Dhruva Loka, which is actually the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, I have only 2-3 minutes for. Yeah. Ekalabha Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful class and narration. You were discussing the topic of praja, children by responsibility.
Yeah.
My question is, what is the understanding by which a leader in ISKCON can properly take care of praja, whether a Sankirtan leader, a temple president, a bureau member, GDC or guru?
Yeah, right. Very good question. According to the Vedic understanding, to be a leader means to assume the responsibility of the followers. Not just take the service from the followers, not just have the followers following you and glorifying you, but it should be the other way. Along with that, the reciprocation should be there. Like, these are my followers, I have to take care of them. I have to engage them in the service of Krishna. I have to engage them to fulfill the vision of Srila Prabhupada. I have to motivate them to fulfill the vision of Srila Prabhupada. I have to facilitate them to fulfill the vision of Srila Prabhupada. So that is how the leaders of all category should lead their followers, especially in a spiritual institution like ISKCON. And the result will be Krishna consciousness movement will start to spread all over the world in leaps and bounds. Thank you. So I'll stop now because we have our meeting starting at 9:30 today. జగద్గురు శిల ప్రభుపాదకి, సమవేత భక్తవృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానందే.